We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Loving this cold weather, sticking around. Anybody with me on that? Yeah, all right. Some of you are real irritated. I've talked to a couple people and they said, I moved here to get away from this, you know?
Yes.
And I said, well, too bad. too bad. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. This message tonight is primarily for those of you who find yourself married. This message is also for those of you tonight who find yourself unmarried. This message is also for those of you tonight who know how to spell married. Tell me, who's the message for? Everybody, okay? Because we all know someone who is married, wants to be married, is no longer married, or is remarried, or who has a misunderstanding of what it means to be married. How many of you know that when you get married, you don't know what you're getting into? If you didn't put your hand up, you're not married. I say that because marriage, now there's a lot of things that will not be in your handout tonight. I'm going to tell you that from jump, okay? I'm trying to give you a heads up. For those of you who are real copious note takers, you might want to get an extra piece of paper out. You might want to jot some things down. Not all of it's coming onto the screen, so I want to give you a heads up now. There's some information that I'm going to share that will not be on your handout, but I am going to mention it, and my sense is that some of you will really want to write this down. I would encourage the men who are married tonight to take the notes this evening. Okay? So if you're like, oh, my wife does that, step up, guys, okay? Step up, be a man. Say, I'm taking the lead here tonight. I'm going to take the notes, and I'm going to study this with you. Ladies, watch him, okay? Make sure he's paying attention, all right? Because here's the thing about marriage. Marriage is the great revealer. Marriage is the great revealer. You know, there are no married people issues. Only single people issues that get worse in marriage. Okay? It's a single person issue that got worse in marriage. Marriage does not create problems, it reveals them. It just reveals them. And the pressures of marriage do not create the problems that we have in our heart. Marriage is just the point of exposure. Marriage just begins to bring into view what is happening inside. This is what happens. Marriage is the great revealer. And most of us want to blame our spouse or marriage itself or our kids for the problems that we're dealing with, when in reality, marriage is just exposing the problems that have been rooted in you. The problem of selfishness. The problem of pride. The problem of jealousy. The problem of control, the problem of anger, the problem of impatience. Some of you didn't know how riddled with these things you were until after you got married and your helper helped you see that. I'm not sure why you got married, but most people find marriage is far from happily ever after. If you don't understand scriptural principles in marriage and God's purpose for marriage, you will not have a holy matrimony. You will have a holy moly is what will happen, okay? And this is what happens. People are blindsided, and that was the most Christian way I could phrase that. But this is what happens. Listen, I want to make this statement up front so that you understand the trajectory that we are on tonight. One of the primary purposes of marriage is not to make you happy, but to make you holy. If more couples could understand that, if I would remind myself of that more often, marriage is not set up by God so that you'll just have this happily ever after life, sing kumbaya, and somehow arrive at your destination. And that's not the point of marriage. And yet we go into this with this Western concept of this is how marriage is going to function, this is how marriage is going to look, and then yet some people today in our culture, they're looking at marriage and they're saying, and you talk to a lot of millennials today, and they'll say, I'm never getting married. I've never met any couple that was happy after they got married. And there's almost an aversion for marriage. Some children watch their mom and dad, and they think, if that's marriage, I don't want that. The hit singer for the popular band Blink 182 wrote a whole song about him and his mother splitting up. And in there, he's just belaboring, I mean, just pounding out, singing his lungs out about, you know, if this is what you want and this is what she wants, then why are you fighting? Why are you hating each other? Why are you splitting up? And he tells the story in his own words, how he came home and he was literally holding on to his dad as his dad was leaving and was hanging on to him and tearing his clothes off as his dad was leaving the house. And this is the concept that a lot of people have when it comes to marriage. When marriage is no longer meeting our expectations, and I would hasten to say our false expectations, the result is that many people just want out. This is not how I thought it would be. She's not doing, and he's not, and we're not, listen, God's far more concerned about your holiness than your happiness. Far more. And marriage is tough. And when things aren't going the way that we think they should be going, the blame game starts, the finger pointing starts, and if you would just do this, and if you would stop doing that, and it's just, and so people, instead of working it out, they run out. They leave. They want an excuse. They want to hide. They want to do anything but what God's word says to do. One of my favorite leaders ever in history is a man by the name of Winston Churchill. Just recently watched the documentary called The Darkest Hour with my son Nathan. He and I both very fascinated by him and his ways. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Winston Churchill was hated. He got in on a whim. He led Britain. He was the man of the hour. There's no doubt about it. But I mean, the war wasn't over 2 minutes, and they voted him out. I mean, he didn't make it long. There's no doubt that he was the man of the hour for that country. And here's what Churchill said about wars. He said, wars are not won by evacuation. Wars are not won. They wanted to evacuate London. They wanted to leave. There was all of this pressure. He had all of his troops, over 300,000 men sitting in Dunkirk. I mean, he had all of this pressure. And he stonewalled the Houses of Parliament. And he said, wars are not won by evacuation. Marriage... this is one, you might want to write this down. Marriage is a war in that it reveals the battle inside yourself to submit and yield, and you will never win by running away. It's a war in that the war isn't with your spouse. If you're warring with her or him, you're aiming wrong. The war is the war within. The war that is starting you realize, I don't want to change, I don't want to do this, I'm happy the way I am. One of my favorite commentators, I quickly ran this off tonight, that's why it's in huge, large print. He's talking about marriage in this particular section. It's a meaty section, and just for time's sake, I'm going to shrink it. And he makes this great quote, brilliant. He says, we are vulnerable in marriage, and we are therefore disappointed and hurt by its failures, as we are not equally hurt by shortfalls in other relationships. The chief problem, however, is that we have forgotten God's guidelines for marriage. So we suffer marriage breakdowns just as we would suffer the breakdown of our automobiles if we disregarded the manufacturer's instructions for their maintenance. He goes on to say this, the place to begin in any discussion of marriage is with the fact that marriage is God's idea and that it's a good idea. It is a good idea because it comes from God, who never had a bad idea, right? I love what G.K. Chesterton said. He said, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been difficult and left untried. And this is the problem we're facing today. So let's go to Ephesians 5, and let's see what God's word begins to say to us tonight. Now, please remember, if you're just joining us in this very lengthy series that I promised to finish this year, You're coming on the back end of a lot of doctrinal teaching. You're coming on the back end of a lot of in-depth study on walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. You're coming on the back end of a lot of what this looks like. So it's very dangerous for you to just land on this passage tonight, not having had some of the backfill. So I wouldn't urge you to go back, and you can jump online and bring yourself up to speed if you so desire. You can certainly read and catch up. But don't just drop into this and go, oh, okay, this is how you do it. Well, it's very difficult to land here if you haven't been there. Are you tracking what I'm saying? Okay, so here we are now. We'll just look at verse 21 and then we'll move down. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, ladies, seatbelt time. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. We're going to move tonight from the mutual submission that we talked about last week, the very broad strokes of submission and learning what that means, submitting unto the Lord. That's why verse 21 is the overarching theme here. We're going to move from this mutual submission into what I've titled this submission in marriage, the context now of where we find ourselves, the center of the bullseye. And just so that we will lock our minds in, remember this tonight, submission is based on our relationship to Christ. Submission is based on our relationship to Christ. This is the overarching theme. This is what's driving us now to work at this submission. And let me quickly say that we have a clear command of submission here in the text, the overarching theme as it pertains to marriage, but we don't have a clear picture of what this looks like in great detail, and this is by design. We're told, this is what the Bible says, to submit, but then there's not a lot of detail. And if you're a very detail-oriented person, this is very frustrating. The point is that submission will look a little different and function a little different because every marriage is unique. That was a great spot for an amen. To paint a picture and say that submission must look like this is to operate outside the context of the Scripture and to superimpose our idea of marriage into the text, which is dangerous. This is a biblical pattern. God's Word lays down the boundaries, the playing field, sets the form, if you will, what a marriage is. One man, one woman. Praise God, somebody got it. But the functionality of that, this is where there is some freedom in here. And the Bible's not going to give us specific, exact detail on it. Listen, this is the biblical pattern. It's true for the church. We're told to gather. We're told to do this. But it doesn't tell us what time to do it, how often to do it, where to do it, what songs to sing, how many of them to sing. But it does tell us that we should gather. You guys get this? And for some of us, this is frightening because we are like, well, then what does that mean? That means that you can now work with the Spirit of God and work through that process yourself. There's a lot of freedom in that. But what religion does and what legalism does and what we can do is we can tend to force our bent or our preferences or our traditions or our bias upon the text. And when you do that, you run into legalism and you run into religion. Note this tonight, that the primary application of Scripture is about transformation, not tradition. And people use the term traditional marriage, and I think we know what that means, but be careful that you're not making that mean something that it shouldn't mean. The flip side of that is that our goal is to conform to Christ and not the culture around us. There's two sides to this coin. We have to be clear here that we get our understanding of marriage and the functionality of marriage and the form of marriage from the Scripture. This is why the subject of not only submission but marriage in general is such a hot topic. You see, some think that the Victorian age is the model for marriage. And that's how it should be, and that's a woman's place, and she should dress this way and do this, and the man should do this, and you know, and then if you were to go to the Orient and you were to look at their culture, you think, well, maybe that's the model for marriage. And so we have others will look at the culture and think, well, this is how marriage should work. Look at our culture. I mean, this is, let's just live together. We don't really need to get married, it's just a piece of paper. It's not that important, is it? Different sermon. Friends, I'm saying all of this to get us to understand tonight that this is why God gave us His Word, so that we may anchor our lives in the truth of God's Word. We have the Spirit of God to help us implement the Word of God into our lives. You see, for some of us, we would just love it if every little detail was penned out. A list of submission consists of doing the following each day. I kiss my husband goodbye. I bring my wife flowers. You know, I had a guy tell me, you know, he said one time we were in a counseling session, and he said, well, can't show me in the Bible where I'm supposed to bring my wife flowers. I said, I can't show you in the Bible where it says to wear deodorant, ding dong. I said, but you do that, don't you? Right? I mean, we want this explicit. I'm like, what in the world? It doesn't make any sense. And some of us would love it if every little detail was penned out. A list of submission consists of the following, and here is the danger in that. You would do it from your head and not from your heart. Because then you would become a religionist or traditionalist, and you would say, well, look, I'm doing all these things, and these are the very people that Jesus was so irritated with, and he was constantly calling them out. He was saying, you religious people, you're the problem here. You have this form, but you don't know my Father. And the issue with submission is we would love it if there was all this explicit detail in a lot of things in the scripture, because then we could do it, but the danger is and this was Israel's problem. You see, submission must come from the heart that delights in God. I delight to do this. I'm delighting because this is the word of God. I'm not looking for a law. I'm not looking for specifics. This is what Paul was saying, talking about the fruits of the Spirit. He says, I don't need to write a law about these things, do I? God hasn't penned this. These are the works and the fruits of the Spirit. How that may look and translate into your marriage, how you put those things in action in your marriage must fall into the context of submission, but it will look different. You see, when a husband and wife are putting Ephesians 5:21 into practice as individuals, then their role and responsibility in the marriage becomes clear. Then together they can accomplish God's plan for their marriage, all the while showing the world a picture of what God intended the home to look like and a picture of how relationally we are to function as a church. And so it leads me to this very first point, which number one, guiding principles of submission in marriage. Guiding principles of submission in marriage. Let me give two statements that are not on the screen. Number one, submission for a woman means that a wife recognizes her husband's leadership and responds to him in a way that empowers him to lead, okay? Submission for a woman means that a wife recognizes her husband's leadership and she responds to him in a way that empowers him to lead. Submission for a man means that a husband recognizes his wife's purpose to help him be effective in leadership. Submission for a man means that a husband recognizes his wife's purpose to help him be effective in leadership. Spiritual leadership, guys, men, spiritual leadership is not a license to do what you want to do, but empowerment to do what you ought to do. Okay? Submission is not about what a woman can and can't do, but what men are called to do and all too often don't do. This is the issue. Now, if you go back to the garden, okay, and it's kind of where the whole thing began, right? Right? Okay, just making sure. Okay, it all started back here, and God said everything was good except one thing. What did he say? It's not good that man should be alone. Okay, so he created a helpmeet for him. Now, this does not imply inferiority, and I'm going to talk about this in a few minutes. This does not imply inferiority in any way, but the reality is men and women are created differently. You cannot deny that. Science cannot deny that. Not only this, not only were they created differently, but if you take notes, you should write this down. They were also cursed differently. And not only were created differently, they were cursed differently. The reality is that men and women, husband and wife, are not the same. If that were the case, one of you would be unnecessary. Let that sink in for a minute. You know, some people think, well, I'm the better part of the marriage. Well, I guess she's not needed then, or I guess he's not needed. You know, if it wasn't for me, this marriage would fall apart. Whoa, time out. What are you saying right now? You can't say that. God did not make the woman inferior, and likewise, he did not make the man superior. You say, well, you got a verse for that? Of course. Of course. Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Not inferiority there. Now note this this evening. In creating two genders, God displayed more of himself in a more glorious way than in only creating one gender. You're seeing more of God, more to glorify God in. Rather than in one gender, you're seeing two. Now what we know is that the term helper comes from the Hebrew word Ezer. And one of God's name is Jehovah Ezer. Do you guys remember when we did the names of God? Thank you for some of you remembering that series. That's wonderful. Did you know that the only other helper in the Bible is God himself? So when the title is given to the woman, helper, God has given her a very special and sacred position. Now, this passage shows the mutual and individual aspect of submission. Both husband and wife submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The husband does this, look at the text, by laying down his life for his wife in the marriage relationship. He is the most sacrificial and the most responsible. The wife submits herself to her husband. So let's get it into the inner ring now and note the submission as it pertains to wives. Okay. Let me quickly say this. Submission is to be willing. Submission is to be willing. For you ladies who are here tonight and you are not married, please do not be in a hurry to get married. Better you stay single and happy than married and miserable. Amen. You see, when you get married, you enter the context of putting yourself into a role of being submissive. That's no good you getting into marriage going, I don't like this submission thing. What did you think would happen? God would make a special exception for you? No, that doesn't work that way. To enter into marriage is to enter into the concept of saying, part of me as a wife entering into this is the submission factor. It's a willing submission in the context of marriage that Paul is speaking of to the wives, those of you that are married. If you're not married and you're sitting here and you're seeing this, you might be thinking, I ain't getting married. I ain't submitting myself. No way, okay? So don't be in a hurry for that. Don't look at a man for your security. Jesus is your security, okay? All of the things that you're wanting a man to fulfill, Jesus has already done that, but he's done it to perfection. I need to move on. The passage, verse 22, it's directed at wives. It doesn't say obey her husband. It says submit. And this is very important because later on it says children, obey your parents. Notice the text. She's not saying obey. It's saying submit. Guys, she's not your child. Ladies, that was a wonderful, glorious moment that you greatly missed. Okay. By the way, men, this is her verse to obey unto the Lord, not your verse to demand of her. This is her verse. Don't open this passage and rest it on her pillow at night and say, hey, I just thought I'd... Okay, don't do that, okay? Wake up in the morning with black eye, you know? This is not your verse. This is her verse. Amen, ladies? Amen. Don't come walking up, guys, and go like, well, you know, the Bible says submit. She's going to say, well, the Bible says be loving, and you're failing. So you can take that submit, and you can go somewhere else with it, okay? This is her verse to obey unto the Lord, not your verse to demand of her. You don't see that anywhere in the text. Husbands, demand this of you. No, you don't see that. She needs to do this willingly. Don't mess with her verse. Guys, you have plenty to deal with. Just hold on. We'll get there, okay? If I was you, I'd leave that one well alone, right? Just leave it be. Notice, ladies, in the text, it says, your own husband. Here's two words I want to give you, exclusivity and intimacy. This is what it means. This is why it says in the text, unto her own husband. There's an exclusivity here, and there's intimacy applied. She willingly makes herself subject to her husband. She's not getting up in the morning and going, I got to submit to the ogre, you know. This isn't what the text is saying. She willingly makes herself subject to her husband. This is her husband. It's not her boss. It's not her coworker. It's not her father. Context is key. She does this, the submission, not just because she's commanded to, but because, as we'll see later, the context is that of a loving, caring husband. She enjoys this aspect of it because she trusts in her husband. Proverbs 31, she realizes the context of marriage. There's a joy in this. I know some of you ladies are like, well, I ain't there yet, I'll tell you that. Okay, but this is the essence of what is being spoken here. You show me a man who is striving at loving and caring for his wife the way Christ does the church, and I will show you a woman who is happily submitting. I will show you that. Women are looking for godly, loving leadership. It's attractive. It's beautiful. It beautifies the context of marriage. And when men are pursuing and loving and leading and doing these things on a consistent, continual, end-over-end basis, there's a striving in the marriage to do this. The submission aspect becomes not so much of an issue. I'm not saying it's never an issue. I'm not saying there's not some exceptions to what I'm saying in general. So that we can better get some handles around this, we're going to look at five things. Really four, but I threw a fifth one in just because I like you guys. What submission is not, right? So we can get all that off the deck. Then when we come back, we'll talk a little more, and then the guys will be up to the plate. All the women are like, yeah, I'm coming to that one. So let's see, what submission is not? Submission is not inferiority of the woman, okay? Now in Peter, for time's sake, we won't turn there, but there's a whole other section on marriage and how a man should live with his wife and dwell with her according to knowledge and treat her. The Bible calls a woman, the woman in this passage calls her the weaker vessel. Now this has been highly misrepresented. Weaker vessel. This means they are precious. And some women repulse at the next sound of this, but they are to be protected and cared for, to watch over them. Physically, women are not as strong as men. Guys, if your wife can beat you at arm wrestling, that's an issue you need to work out, okay? There's medicine and gyms and things. You can have a breakthrough on that, okay? It means that women in the weaker sense don't have the capacity in certain areas that men do. It's just the way it is. I've watched football for a long time. I've never seen a woman come onto the field as a defensive tackle or a middle linebacker. There's just some things we have to understand. There's just certain aspects in the gender role, the way God laid it out for a purpose, for a reason. It has nothing to do, note this, with intellect or standing before God. Angela and I have been married 25 years, together for about four before that. There's just differences between she and I. I've had to learn how to adjust my schedule. She's had to learn how to adjust hers. It doesn't mean that I'm smarter than she is, or she is smarter than me, but that's another story. But the point I'm making here is how she can do certain things and how I can, she's wired completely different. And it was a good day when I figured out she can't keep my pace. People who know me, I have a high output motor. Go, 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 go. I can function quite happily on 4 hours of sleep most times. She cannot. And that's no good, that's wrong for me. It's sin for me to pressurize her and say, well, come on, keep up. Submit, woman. Okay? That's a quick way to a counselor's office. It's a quick way for her to say, we're going to have a different conversation, okay? We're wired differently. Doesn't mean she's inferior. It's not what that means. It's capacity, physicality. She's precious. The idea there of the vessel, the weaker vessel, is the picture of a very beautiful vase, a fine, expensive vase. You know, men, we don't picture ourselves as a beautiful vase, okay? If you do, different sermon, okay? So submission is not inferiority of the woman. Number two, submission is not dominance by the man, okay? It's not dominance by the man. By the way, This was written in a male-dominated culture. So you can imagine, as this is being read at the church at Ephesus, I would just imagine, and when we get to heaven, you'll see I was right. I would just imagine that there were women that were shouting for joy and were just elated as they, and there were guys going, oh man, am I in trouble? This was a male-dominated society. People get all, I have to chase this one rabbit, okay? People get all upset and say, oh, the Bible demeans women, degrades women, puts women down. Excuse me. Jesus completely altered the course of women's lives by how he treated them when he was on earth. He wrote the book on how a woman and a marriage should be treated. Don't ever let anyone dupe you into thinking the Bible puts women on a lesser shelf. They're elevated in the scripture, not lessened. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, don't ever buy that line. There's a Greek word for that. It's called baloney. Submission is not inferiority of the woman. It is not dominance by the man. Remember, guys, men, you're in your position. I'm in my position not because I'm smarter or better, but because it's the responsibility that God has given me. Guys, you would do well to realize that you're not as smart as you think you are, and that God gifted you, your wife, to help you save you from your own stupidity. If you try to dominate your wife, you're an idiot. That's a Bible word. Look it up. Don't try to dominate her. That's not what God has called you to do. When you try to dominate your wife instead of leading her, you're giving your wife every reason to not submit to you. Why in the world would she want to? Why in the world would she happily submit herself to a dictator, to a dominator? Submission is not inferiority of the woman. It is not dominance by the man. Number three, it is not unconditional obedience by the woman. It says submit, not obey, as unto the Lord. Your husband does not have the right, ladies, to ask you to do anything illegal, immoral, or anything that would cause you to violate your conscience. Now listen, how many of you are married? Raise your hands. Okay, how many of you have ever had an opportunity? Now, let me break down an opportunity. That's a Christian word for argument. So let me ask it again. How many of you ever had an opportunity? Okay. So anybody have one tonight? No, don't raise your hand. There will be times when you both disagree. I'm going to talk a little bit about this in our next lesson, but there's going to be those times where you both just disagree. People say, all of them were not in unity. Hang on. That's why there's submission. Submission implies that, listen, you put one sinner and another sinner under the same roof, you're going to have a fire. You're going to have sparks. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have oughts. You're going to have, you know, horns will lock, all right? It's going to happen. Submission implies that there will be disagreement. Otherwise, you have perfect unity. Submission is not obedience, but it is surrendering an agenda. I'm going to talk more about this later, but one of the most frightening things, and it dawned on me few years into our marriage, and it struck me, and it shook me, and it scared me, and I broke out in a sweat, and I'm not exaggerating this to you when I tell you this. When Angela said this phrase to me, it rocked me to my core. We were having an opportunity, and she said, Todd, you're the leader. You decide. You make the decision, and we'll just stick with whatever you decide. My heart was pounding. I tell you that, ladies, because, and I don't mean to make submission an easy thing, but there comes a moment where you need to realize, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and take my agenda off the table. And some of you ladies are like, man, if I do that, he will take us off a cliff. I was worried I would take us off a cliff. Do you know what that caused me to do? You see, nothing will drive fear into the heart of a man when his wife says, honey, it's your call. And nothing will drive fear into the heart of a man when his wife says that. If you really understand what she's saying to you. I need to move on. Number four. Submission is not total control by the man. The best definition of submission that I've ever heard came from Dr. Tony Evans. You know him? He's kind of a well-known guy. Here's what he said about submission. He said, submission is the woman ducking so God can knock sense into her man. Submission is the woman ducking so God can knock sense into her man. When both husband and wife are relinquishing control, I'm not saying leadership, control, there's a difference, the marriage functions in harmony. Will there be disagreement? Yes. And some, not all disagreement's bad. You need to understand that. Again, if you're not willing, guys, to listen to your wife's opinion, ladies, if you're not willing to take on what your husband's saying, okay, you need to relinquish the agenda and say, okay, how can we work this out together? Don't fight for this, guys. Don't fight for control, but also don't shirk. You know, here's what guys do. She makes a comment. He's like, hey, we're going to do this. And she's like, I don't know if that's a good idea. Fine, you do it. Oh, hang on. That's the coward's way out. Okay? That's not what the scriptures are teaching here. Guys, don't fight for control and don't shirk your responsibilities. Ladies, don't strangulate his leadership by demeaning his decisions. Say, well, yeah, if you hadn't done that, we wouldn't be in this day. Well, you know, picked an ugly color car. I mean, you know, every decision, you're picking it apart. Now, I say this, that it's humorous, and it is humorous, but I promise you this, it's not humorous when they're in my office. And he says, I can't do anything to please this woman. It doesn't matter what I do. Nothing's right. And I can't live with her anymore. It's not funny then. And this is how it starts, the picking and the criticism, and, well, I wouldn't do it that way, and you're an idiot, and I can't believe you did that, and that was so stupid, and I should have known. And you're just demeaning his leadership. You're setting a horrible example for your children, and you're strangulating any impetus he has to want to try and be a better leader. So it's not total control by the man. That's not what submission is. Number five, last one. We had to redo this one. Didn't like the way it was worded, so it was a hot change later this afternoon, which is this: prohibiting women from serving in certain leadership roles. This is... submission is not. A lot of people think, well, women can never serve in a leadership role. There are aspects here that we can talk about. Women can lead and lead well. Did you know that on the Apostle Paul's team, he had women? And women in key roles in leadership? Yes, women cannot pastor. Man, you guys are making this hard tonight, I'm telling you. Okay. She should not usurp her authority over a man, but that doesn't mean that she can't lead. In fact, women are leaders. In the first place, they're to be leaders as leaders in the home. Amen. Man. In the dentist chair tonight, I'm telling you. Submission does not mean that a woman can never take a role that has heightened responsibility. That's not what it means. There are some fantastic leaders in this church who are women. Did you know that? Fantastic leaders in this church. There are some ladies in this church I depend on weekly. One of them is my secretary. I depend on her. She's a great leader. We have other ladies who are leading in various ministries, heads of ministry, who are doing an outstanding job. And a lot of us, if we're not careful as men, we get a very chauvinistic mentality. Now, yes, there's a fine line. A woman needs to ensure that she can honor her husband as she performs whatever that role may be. And she needs to continue to operate in submission to him in that role. She just needs to ensure that her position does not conflict with her top priorities. And what are her top priorities? Loving and leading the home first. That's the priority. The danger in this is that she will find something else more fulfilling and not that which God has called her to first. Now that's a problem. That becomes sin at that point. Remember, the curse is the woman's sinful inclination to usurp man's authority, and man's sinful inclination to put women under his feet. This is the curse. Submission is not the wife's core role in marriage. It is, however, her Christ-like response to his role that helps him become an effective and godly leader. Submission is not the result of forced dictatorship. Did you know that Christ never forces his will upon us? Never. He never forces his will upon us, but rather, he invites us to follow him and his example. The only way a marriage can truly function according to Scripture is through the willing submission of both husband and wife to the Lord, and then fulfilling their roles and responsibilities as laid out in the Scriptures. Let me just say this in closing, that submission in marriage does not come easy. If I leave you with any impression tonight that you think, oh, well, this will just work itself out, it doesn't. You have to work at it. I want to make this statement. This is not the final statement, but I want to make this statement to you. Nothing, and I mean this, please hear this, nothing will show you just how selfish and self-centered you are as marriage. This came crashing home personally to me many years ago when God, in his own special way, through the gift that he has given to me, my wife, in a course of conversations and some study I was going through, God revealed to me how incredibly self-centered I was and how disgustingly selfish I had been. And the whole time thinking that I wasn't. Marriage is the great revealer. And it continues to reveal who you are, because God's far more interested in your holiness than your happiness. You're going to be eternally happy. Did you know that? Some of you need to get practicing now, though. Let me just encourage you, okay? You start working at it now, all right? So in closing, let me say this. The power to submit your life to your spouse and fulfill your role and responsibilities, it only comes through the Spirit of God in you. This is what we've learned. You can't pull yourself up by the bootstrap. You can't man up. You can't read 10, 15 books. You can't go to a ladies' Bible study. All those things will be supplements. They'll be helpful, and there's elements of that that'll be useful. But it's the Spirit of God in you that will do this. It's the Spirit of God that we learned about in the weeks preceding up into this that gives us the power and the ability to fulfill this role in marriage.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.